get revolver up my sleeve.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the best gaming podcast ever, brought to you by GameRanks.com. You're listening to The Decade by Stuart Newman. Matt and Annie were not able to make it this week, but let me introduce the cast. I'm Jacob, of course. There's Dennis.
Hey.
Josh.
Hello.
Ian.
Hey, what's up?
And for our first time ever here, Game Ranks writer Molly.
Hi.
How did she get in?
Yeah, I know.
And now I'm in the mood. Cry me a river. I cry you a stream.
Show me your racist and I'll show you a dream. Alright, well, let's jump right into our news this week. We've got a lot to go over. We're going to talk about Shodes, Wasteland 2, and Assassin's Creed 3.
You never lead with a Chode, Jacob. You got to work up to it.
Wait, what? Oh, okay. I like to start off with Chodes. It's just how it works. Anyways, let's talk about Wasteland 2. And by talking about Wasteland 2, we're going to talk about how the Kickstarter is going to be giving back money. The profits of the game will be heading back and giving 5% of profits to other Kickstarter projects that they deem worthy. We've been talking about crowdsourcing a lot on this podcast lately, so what do you guys think?
I think it's awesome. Can I start? Yes, I can. Because obviously I jumped in and, you know, injected my opinion. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
Batman.
Yeah, so Brian Fargo, he is, you know, the creator of Wasteland 2 and Wasteland. He started this little thing where he is suggesting that anybody, you know, who does a Kickstarter and it becomes, like, wildly successful, give back 5% of what they get and, you know, use that to support other Kickstarters. So that way, you know, it's a very community-based thing, and he even started a website for it, which I don't have it right now, but, yeah. The Wasteland 2 Kickstarter has about 1.5 million right now, and that's more than double what it was supposed to get, which is like 900,000. And they're probably going to get a lot more as, you know, the days and weeks roll by. So I think it's really cool because, you know, he is really getting into it. Like I could see him supporting all these tiny new Kickstarters that, you know, don't have a chance in hell of getting supported. If a lot more developers do it, like if Psychonauts guys, you know, what are those guys called? Double Fine, yeah. If Double Fine does it also, you know, we could see this whole thing turn into an avalanche of Kickstarter game projects. And why not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, it'll bring awareness to some of the smaller titles there that wouldn't be noticed, you know. And another interesting fact is that he's actually hired a special art team to develop like a badge for any Kickstarter project that pledges in charity to give up 5% of its profits from the final project, you know. And just, you know, I wanted to clarify for everybody, the profits that they'll be giving back of the 5% are from whatever comes out of the Kickstarter project. It's not how much is funded. It's what they're going to make out of the profits with what the funding creates, if that puts it into perspective.
And that's honestly a lot cooler, because if they sell enough copies, then that could be more than the initial thing, and it'll keep rolling over time. So I like it a lot, because when you're sitting here and you say, oh, well, the Double Fine guys have like $2 million to make an adventure game, they're so lucky, and I'm sure all these other Kickstarter projects are going unfunded because they're not famous. It really puts the responsibility on these people who do get noticed to say, well, yeah, we're good at what we do, but these other people are too, and you should pay attention to them as well. And I really like it. It's like a call to social action and something that doesn't really matter, but is still really cool.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Double Fine, they've been pretty lucky in the past in terms of funding and stuff. So I think that we saw this from I think it's In Exile Studios, if I remember correctly. Yeah. I think we saw it from them because, you know, I think that they really appreciate the community coming together. And I think that they know without Kickstarter or a website like Indiegogo, just to bring another one about, that this would never have happened, you know?
It's true.
And that 5 years ago.
This is kind of a non sequitur. It's just a tangent I want to go on. But I wonder if Wasteland 2 would have ever been funded if Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas hadn't been released. Just because the more I think about it, how many people got their first exposure to the Fallout games from Fallout 3? I mean, it's a little silly, but it's true.
I definitely did.
And when you think about that and then you learn about it and you go back and look at the old games and think, well, that was probably pretty cool too. I don't know. I feel like there were a lot that they owe a lot to Bethesda. I know that's a little silly, but
it's true.
Yeah, you're probably right, actually. I mean, the whole genre of post-apocalyptic stuff really came about with, you know, especially Fallout 3. So,
well, just when you hear that, like, oh, this is what gave birth to the Fallout franchise, you think, damn, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're just going by nostalgia, like, assuming Fallout 3 didn't exist, Fallout 2 sold, like, I think 200,000 copies. That's terrible. I mean, back in the day, it was pretty good, you know, because it didn't really have that many gamers. But now, you think about it, 200,000 gamers is not a lot of people. Fallout 3 has, like, millions of people playing it, right? So, yeah, you know, like, people be like, what is Wasteland 2? Well, you already said what I said. I'm just reiterating and being annoying while I'm at it.
You know, when you really think about it, you know, there might actually be more publicity for Wasteland 2 if it goes out this way than if it went out with, like, a mainstream developer not mainstream developer, but publisher. Because there's all this indie support behind it, you know?
Yeah, like, who the hell wants to support, you know, the Strategy First or Interplay? Like, I don't, you know?
Exactly. And also, we went over this when we talked about the Double Fine Kickstarter. You know, they have a set number of people that they know are going to buy the game, so they know how much profit is going to be coming in. So that also adds to, you know, that marketing.
Yeah. The rest, like, once they put the game on sale. Because, I mean, essentially, these Kickstarters are like pre-orders. You know, you're pre-ordering the game, and then you're guaranteed to get the game. So they know, okay, 10,000 people pre-ordered it, and that's who they're developing the game for. And if they sell more than that, you know, that's a profit to them. It's pure profit. There's nothing else that they have to worry about.
Right. Anyways, let's move on to our next piece of news, which, you know, isn't technically news, but we're going to have a little roundtable on Assassin's Creed 3. And
there's some nuggets in there.
Yeah. Let me finish, Josh.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. I'm a chode. I'm sorry.
But we're going to be talking about some of the new developments that have come out concerning Assassin's Creed 3 over the past week. And I first wanted to talk about the awesome screenshots that we put up on GameRanks.com earlier today. We'll provide a link below so you can look at those and listen along. But, dude, these screenshots, they're amazing, and I didn't think we'd be able to achieve something like this within this console generation.
Jacob, I think you need to first explain what Assassin's Creed 3 is.
That was cold, dude.
I'm sorry, people might not know.
Yeah, I know. What's Dishonored?
I don't know.
Oh, God, I remember.
About jumping in the haystacks.
Yeah.
That's actually true. I know this is not related, but I'm going to tell the story because it's funny. I've been playing Assassin's Creed Revelations. I know I spoiled what I've been playing this week. And every time my fiance comes home from the gym, I'm in a haystack. And she's like, is this game just about sitting in a haystack?
For me, it is.
Do you play the online? Because that's where most of the haystack waiting is.
Really? No, I haven't tried that yet. I'm one of those people that has to plow through the single player first.
It's good.
Right now I'm buying all the stores. It's so exciting.
You sit in a haystack or you sit on the bench and pretend that you're an NPC. And then, you know, it turns out that the guy next to you who's also sitting on a bench or pretending to be an NPC is also a player, you know, and then you like struggle to see who stabs each other first.
So let's tie this back into Assassin's Creed 3 because I kind of derailed us. There's some interesting news. We've never talked about how it's going to have co-op. I think that's a pretty interesting development.
That is pretty cool. Definitely. How does it even work?
I don't know. They haven't said anything about it. It was just, I think Microsoft leaked that info.
By accident, yeah.
That should be interesting.
Josh is like, yeah, there's co-op, but what? I don't know anything about it.
Well, nobody knows anything about it, but the... Wow, Jacob.
I'm just kidding, Josh.
Who's the chosen?
We could probably speculate and say that, you know, you're gonna have multiple objectives that you need to perform at the same time, like say two British generals or two, you know, British scouts are reporting where the American forces are, so you have to kill them at the same time, otherwise, you know, American forces die or something. So I mean, that's just.
I want there to be like a Batman Robin team of like Ezios running around.
That would be pretty awesome.
Complete with homoeroticism.
Yeah, well,
sometimes
the only
you just can't get rid of a British general.
Well, the only problem I have sometimes with these sort of co-op games that weren't really made to be co-op in the first place is that we often see the game sort of going off in a direction that it wasn't intentionally made for, you know? And the game doesn't feel as natural. And I think that's a perfect way of putting it. And sorry, Ian?
Oh, well, I was going to say that the people developing the co-op and the competitive modes for Assassin's Creed 3 are the same guys who made Splinter Cell. I mean, you know, the co-op in Splinter Cell? Yeah, it's made by the same people. And
Ubisoft and NC, right?
NC, yeah. It's these guys know what they're doing. I mean, that game arguably has, like, the best co-op in, you know, in games ever. You know, you team up with another Splinter Cell guy, another Sam Fisher, and you help each other into vents or, you know, onto trees or whatever, and you perform assassinations at the same time. You know, you take one out, he takes one out. So, I mean, they could do the same thing here.
Yeah, definitely. I'm talking more in regards to the story rather than the gameplay. You know, especially with Resistance 2, I believe it was, that they had a co-op mode. That they said they had a story going around, but I went into it and it was just like going for points. And I felt like I was playing a little arcade game, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. There's like no story there at all, but they touted it as having that story and being a double experience, that single player one. So it's really frustrating sometimes when we have a game come out and it's not what we expect it to be in the co-op area.
Well, you know what? I would have said the same thing with regard to Assassin's Creed for multiplayer. Because you look at that game and you think, oh, that's never going to work in multiplayer. And if it does work, they're certainly not going to be able to tell a story in it. And they really pulled it off in both regards with Brotherhood. So you got to hand it to them. They did a pretty good job with that. I have full faith they'll pull off something interesting for co-op.
Like, yeah, I mean there's no doubt. I think they'll pull off something that'll be a little bit better than other experiences.
The Templars are using the Animus 2.0. Just like you are, you know, and they that's how they do their multiplayer is, you know, in Brotherhood and Revelations, they kill each other because that's their training. I mean, they don't die in real life, but they die in the game. So to them, it's a game. It's a training exercise. So I mean, I could see them implementing the co-op experience as another part of the, you know, the training exercise. That you have four players work with each other to take down targets in, you know, in revolutionary America. And, you know, somehow this is going to tie into the expansion pack or the other, you know, the follow-up to Assassin's Creed 3.
I will just say that the kind of narrative premise of the games is a little silly because what they're really training them to do is kill British generals, and that's not really what they want them to do in the real world.
Yeah.
That is true. Anyways.
But not just British generals, to segue into a new piece of news that came out today about the game. Apparently, it's not just going to be the British that you're fighting. There's going to be all kinds of different enemies. And some of them are going to be Native Americans, too. So, chew on that. That's going to be pretty interesting to see how they work that into the story. I mean, I guess it could be a rival tribe or something like that. But
the Iroquois.
Navajo!
The Navajo of the Southwest. I have an anthropology degree. I'm ashamed for you right now, Jacob.
I'm pretty sure it's the Iroquois. It has to be the Iroquois. Because
Iroquois and Mohawk.
They teamed up with the British. That's what I mean. If you watch a movie by Pierce Brosnan, you know, he plays a British guy who's essentially a lot like Connor. You know, he kills Iroquois in that movie, and it's mostly a love story. But you know, there's that in there, and they team up with the British, and you know, they even fight the French, and it's. I could see them doing that for this game. I mean, it's historically accurate. That's what they did. They teamed up.
And it'll be very interesting because it'll be like an enemy type that has basically the same skill set as your assassin. So if they play that right, it should prove pretty interesting, I think, and help to mix up gameplay a little bit.
Some idiots are going to call it racist. They'll be like, oh, you got to kill Native Americans, but, oh, dude, it's historically accurate. So, shut up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our next piece of, I quote, news. yes, podcast listeners, at the beginning you heard me say we were going to be talking about chodes. And you heard right. According to the commenters on Game Ranks, we have a chode in our midst on this podcast with us.
Who's
at this
chode?
Moment. Mr. Harmon is apparently a chode.
Guilty.
And he's actually been Stockholm syndromed into believing that he is a chode by the
They made such
here.
Good arguments, Jacob. They
and,
made such good arguments that they convinced me.
And we four here, Dennis, Ian, myself, and Molly, we don't believe that he is. So Josh is going to make a statement about why he believes he is a chode, and we're going to counter with why he is not.
Well, for those of you who might not follow my chodiness as closely as I do, I wrote an article on Game Ranks in which I talked about a post that went up on the Penny Arcade forums that had been sourced back to one of the writers of Mass Effect 3, and he complained about the ending and basically said some hurtful things about his coworkers. And people in the comments said that I should not have published this, even though I did a lot of research. I worked with Ian to kind of do due diligence and make sure that we were almost certain that this was him who said it. And then when I put it up, I said that it could have been him and we can't be certain of anything. So I even gave him the benefit of the doubt. People are saying that I shouldn't have done this because it's a hatchet job and I'm calling him out by name and I'm trying to get him fired. And that makes me a chode. I mean, it's one of many things. They have so many reasons for why I'm a chode that it's hard to pick just one. funnily enough, I had linked in the article to a post on Penny Arcade where somebody explained the whole situation. And after that person saw that I had linked to his comment, he edited the entire post so it just said, Josh Harmon is a chode. So for a while, my article was linking to a post that just said Josh Harmon is a chode, which obviously makes it true because I read it on the Penny Arcade forums.
It was sourced.
It was sourced. That's all it takes when you're writing about news is a good source.
I mean,
those Penny Arcade guys
it's a pretty extreme accusation, and the fact that it's on the Penny Arcade forums, you know, dude. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty extreme. So
it's an independent source.
It is.
So we're gonna try and do our best to de-solidify your status as a chode. So Ian, why is Josh not a chode?
Well, he's not a chode because I worked with him on the article, and you know, I'll get some background information.
You're relating yourself to it. You're going to be a chode by association.
I'll be a chode by association. So be it. Here's the thing. Like, the guy, the writer of, BioWare, he's been posting on these forums for years. So, I mean, I go there myself. I go there personally. I play Battlefield with these guys who are calling him a chode. You know? We play these games together, and It's no secret that this dude has been posting on the PA forums for years. You know, he used to talk about, he used to share information about his work on Mass Effect 2. I think he wrote Jack, and you know, he used to complain about it. He used to, you know, he used to be very forthcoming with the stuff that he's been saying about the game. So that's no secret. And you know, when he wrote this whole piece here on how the ending in Mass Effect 3 was terrible. It was, I mean, he didn't really call it terrible outright. It's more like, you know, that he didn't have anything to do with it, and that it was something that was done by, you know, the lead writer. And he was just giving the forum some information about how the game's ending had come about. And the thing about the way that he posts stuff is that he deletes his post an hour after he writes it because he doesn't want to get into trouble. So, you know, he goes on a forum and sees that people are already referencing that whole post that he made with his name there. And so, you know, he starts telling people, hey, you know, it's cool to talk about this, but, you know, can you at least, like, remove the names and stuff? Because I guess he doesn't want to get into trouble. He doesn't want to, get a stern talking to from his boss, which is probably what happened, because, I mean, why wouldn't they see it, you know? It's a public forum, and to be fair to us, we were not the first ones who found it. It was being posted all over the place. It was being posted on Blues News. It was being posted on the comments of Reddit. You know, it was all over the place. And I personally, yes, me, showed in chief, you know, you want to call it that, decided to pursue the news, hunt it down, and I gave it to Josh, you know, and we, together, we corroborated the evidence with a few people who decided to talk to us, who happened to be members of the Penny Arcade Forum, whom I know personally, so, you know, they took screenshots, they don't want to be named, and we won't name them, but the news is real, you know, it verifies the claim. It's not some independent source that calls him a chode. No, it's actually actual screenshots, and, you know, it's... And besides, I mean, nothing's going to happen to him. Nothing's going to happen to the guy. He's not going to get fired for this. His writing is excellent. Better, even, dare I say it, than the guy who wrote the ending of the game. So
yeah, you know, I will say, he did write, for those of you who have played Mass Effect 3, he co-wrote the scene with Morden. Yeah. I'm not going to say anymore, but you know what I'm talking about if you play the game, so...
So he's a very talented guy. Of Game Ranks commenters... Anyone who reports on this is automatically a chode.
Yes, because we're trying to get him fired, even though BioWare already knew about the post before I wrote about it, because they had already issued an official comment. But I will say, take this counterpoint from user CNN, who may or may not be affiliated with the actual CNN news network. He says, at first...
Dude, it's an independent source.
At first, I just thought this was a shitty, inflammatory article, but after the breaking evidence that it was largely written by a chode, I cannot help but be impressed. So that's a compliment, right? I should feel good about myself.
Guys, pretty much. Just think for a second. Isn't the word chode so funny? Like, it's chode.
I think this might be our most mature podcast ever, Jacob.
I don't care. Chode is a funny...
You know who's going to get blamed for that? It's going to be Molly, you know, because she's new to the podcast.
Dragging us down,
she's
going to
be a chode, too.
It's not my fault.
Dragging us down.
It's because I'm a woman.
It's true.
Yeah.
You feminazi.
See, my thing is, though, I can't really desolidify these claims about Josh Harmon being a chode, because I've read on the internet that Josh Harmon was a chode.
Oh, the internet doesn't lie.
Still is.
I can't really, I don't have any evidence against that.
See,
so
I'm
have to believe
I'm converting you one by one.
See,
by the end,
night,
we'll all be in agreement.
Last night, Josh actually accused me of writing all the comments on that article.
Well, I just knew that of all the people in the world who think I'm a chode, you're the closest to Game Ranks, so...
Why would you say that? I quit. I'm going home.
Okay, right, Cartman.
We'll do the podcast without you.
Oh,
so, you guys want to segue into the hot topic? Because I think
let's go into
yes.
Hot.
Crushed my ego enough for the day.
Okay, we have confirmed that Josh Harmon is sort of a chode and not sort of a chode. We'll just leave it at that. And we'll talk about Mass Effect 3. So, Dennis, we haven't heard from you very much. Do you have anything you want to say about Mass Effect 3 to get us started?
What was that? You kind of broke off.
I was asking if you wanted to start off our discussion on Mass Effect 3.
On Mass Effect 3?
Yes.
Other than the large complaints of the ending? I'm officially not going to play the game anymore.
Wow, they convinced you not to play by bitching so much. Wow.
You know what convinced me not to play the game?
What?
What?
Josh Harmon being a chode.
let's talk about the whole ending controversy, because there were some recent developments with that. I mean, in case you're not up to speed, very, very basic rundown. People are upset with the fact that Mass Effect 3's ending is quote-unquote terrible. I mean, you can form your own opinions about that. I wasn't thrilled about it, but I didn't think it ruined the entire franchise like some other people did. And so they've been petitioning BioWare to release DLC that will fix the ending, and nobody can agree on what that should be, but they all want it changed, and if you go on the BioWare forums, it's just a mess. And then the other day, is it CEO of BioWare? Ray Mazzucca, yeah. Is that his name?
Yeah, he's a VP at EA. So, yeah, he's in charge of BioWare.
Yeah. He released a statement that said, oh, we're listening to your complaints. We've got stuff lined up that's going to help clarify what happened with the ending, and we're going to work on that content to make you guys happy. And so people are kind of in this fuzzy stage where they don't know if they've actually won or if they're just saying things to pacify them.
They're saying things to pacify them, because I read the BioWare Twitter account after he said that. People were saying, oh, BioWare's going to change the ending. Well, it got clarified to say that BioWare is not going to change the ending. They're going to add stuff to the ending. But that
might be fixing the ending in terms of some of the stuff people have been complaining about. Because just in vague terms, people felt like they didn't get enough closure from the ending. Like, they didn't see what had happened to the squad after. They wanted, like, an Animal House segment where it freeze frames on each character and says what they wound up doing with the rest of their life.
Yeah, like they did with Dragon Age.
Yeah. So they might patch in something like that, which honestly would be a little bit nicer. But
a bit, yeah.
Should they change the ending? I don't know. That's kind of a controversial topic.
Patch in.
No, but that's not going to make it any better, because, like, that's what they... I mean, if you look at a completely unrelated game, but Fallout New Vegas, when the ending was pretty much just a freeze frame showing you or telling you what happened later after the game finished, that just felt like a cop-out. So how is them doing something like that? Like, that wouldn't help anybody, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and go ahead, Ian.
No, I was agreeing. It was something that might have worked 10 years ago with Fallout 1, but, you gotta look at Mass Effect 3 or 2 or whatever. They're huge games. They're, you know, they're cinematic. They have to be cinematic, and if you do a freeze frame type thing, it's kind of shitty. It's like, they just threw it in as an afterthought, you know? It's like...
Because they also could have thrown it in as an afterthought.
It's going to be an afterthought.
For a second, the downloadable content that's been going around to be rumored. They're going to replace the ending with that downloadable content, and, you know, I'm already kind of mad at BioWare for not putting that day one DLC into their game. And yeah, this is like a recurring theme with BioWare, it seems. And the fact everybody really hates it that much, we can replace it with downloadable content for the ending. I mean, that's just irresponsible to me. Like, it shows a lack of foresight for the first part of work on the game, you know?
But Conspiracy Keanu would suggest that it shows a lot of foresight.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's so bad, people will pay you to fix it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Or sue you to fix it.
See, yeah, that seems more like something Activision would do.
Makes sense, though, doesn't it? I mean, make a really shitty ending and then patch it up when people complain about it and be like, yeah, we listened to the fans! Yeah.
This is more like a cash cow, though, because you pay $60 for the game retail, and then you pay another $10 day one DLC, and then who knows, they're going to end up charging this DLC if they make alternate ending.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, if they released it for free, then I think that would eliminate all of the ill will that they've currently garnered for the ending.
Yeah, so, definitely.
You know, it's EA, they have to justify the DLC.
Well, I mean, EA is losing money now anyways, because there was Amazon reports that Amazon's giving back refunds, and other reports that Origin is giving back refunds on digital downloads, which means that was all their profit. They were getting all 60 of those dollars, and now they're getting zero from people who are pissed about the ending. So if it causes people to rebuy the game that they refunded, then yeah, that's going to be a net gain for EA.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to say, really.
It's funny.
I will say my favorite thing to come out of the controversy is, no spoilers again in case you're worried, people have developed this meme around the last enemy that you fight in the game, just the last, like, standard enemy that you encounter. they've given him a name and, like, a backstory. It's a enemy type called the Marauder, and in Mass Effect 3, when you're playing the game and you're targeting an enemy, it shows their enemy type, so it would say Marauder, and then it shows their health type, whether it's health, shields, or barriers if they're biotic. And so this guy has a shield, so it displays up at the top of the screen whenever you're fighting him, it says Marauder shields right below Marauder. So people have given him the name Marauder Shields. They've made comics about him, and his entire backstory is that he trained for years and years so that he could show up and kill Commander Shepard so he wouldn't have to watch the ending to Mass Effect 3.
Isn't that great?
People got way too much free time on their hands.
Yes, they do.
You guys know they're bringing the N7 armor from Mass Effect into Final Fantasy 13 too?
Yes.
It looks ridiculous.
I sent you the video, yeah.
Yeah, like, I had to write a news post about that, and I was just like, they're bringing armor from Mass Effect to Final Fantasy. Like,
they didn't
even
do a good job of it. Like, in Kingdoms of Amalur, they did a pretty good job disguising it stylistically.
Yeah.
But the Final Fantasy 13 2 just looks like, oh yeah, it's Commander Shepard.
It's straight up Commander Shepard. It's got no stylistic touches whatsoever. You know?
As if anything in Final Fantasy makes sense anymore anyway, though.
Sure.
I mean,
All
they really had to do to change it stylistically would to be add, like, nonsensical zippers.
Okay, that's the best point I've heard all night.
It's true.
It is true.
Do you guys want to head into what we've been playing now?
Yeah. We talked about Mass Effect long enough.
Yes. Especially since I haven't played it. all right. Okay, we're going to talk about what we've been playing. I'll start us off, I guess, because I have not really been playing anything except the usual suspect of UFC Undisputed 3.
Oh my god.
Next
yeah.
Podcast, it's going to be an intervention for you, Jacob.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So, I wanted to get in a couple games of League of Legends, but I just couldn't get around to it. And things have just been really busy. But, I've gotten to punch a few people in the face, so, you know, it was fun.
Do they have new, like, sweat technology in UFC Undisputed 12?
Well, actually, they had that in the last iteration. If you just tire your guy out and gas him out, then he actually sweats more than if you just, like, let him sit there.
Is there, like, a feature where you can zoom in and just watch the bead of sweat trickle down his manly bicep?
Yes, I use it every night around 9:45 p.m.
Like clockwork.
Yes. Clockwork. Anyways, Chode Master.
Chode Master General, okay? Oh, it's me? It's me? I thought you were just calling me that. You do that a lot, so I lose track. I have been playing, like I said earlier, Assassin's Creed Revelations, which is really, really frustrating because I have the worst habit when I play Assassin's Creed games. Which is, I will get to the first point in the story where it lets me explore, and then I will try to do every last side mission and every last collectible in the entire game before I've done any of the story. So right now, it is the most boring drain of my time I have ever played. But it's my own damn fault, because I'm sure the story missions are excellent, but I'm just running around going, oh, there's a flag, I gotta go get that. Oh, I have to buy this medicine store. So the mechanics are pretty good. I like the new hook thing. I'm pretty excited to try out multiplayer whenever I finish everything. But for the minute, I'm just achievement whoring, and I want to blow my own brains out.
Yeah, don't.
Achievement whoring's fun, though. When you get get all the trophies and stuff, it's like, yes, I
feathers.
Finally got them.
Feathers.
My god. No, wait, never mind. It's not fun anymore. Those are awful.
I don't think there are feathers in Revelations. There's, like, Animus data fragments that you have to collect. And I'm hoping I can buy a map for those, but I don't know, it doesn't look like it yet.
Well, like, I have this bad habit of not looking at what the other achievements are, or trophies in my case, and I'll end up getting like 99% of the trophies, and then there's that one damn trophy that's like, collect all these things in the entire game, and if you missed one a while back, you have to travel across the world like 3 different times just to get this one thing, and then you have to collect like 800,000 other items to get the trophy. And I'm just like, no, I quit.
I draw the line at 700,000 collectibles. Anything more than that is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to move on, so if you want to finish your point.
Sorry. Oh, no, it's nothing. I was just going to not an agreement and fill up podcast time. Molly.
Wait, I have another game.
No, you don't.
I've been playing Kings of Amalur: Reckoning. It's okay. Molly.
Okay. Mine's really, really stereotypical. And actually, I just wrote an article about it, about why it's the only thing I've been playing all week. I've just been playing Animal Crossing City Folk.
That's all right, though. Anything interesting happen in your Animal Crossing game?
Well, not really. I changed my town tune to the theme from Morrowind, and I paid off a couple mortgages. That's about the extent of what happens in Animal Crossing, so it hasn't been that interesting an experience, but it's been all I've been able to get myself to play.
Are you excited for 3DS Animal Crossing?
Yes, but I don't have a 3DS yet, so I have to get one just for that, and I will.
They price dropped. How could you not have picked it up then?
Because I'm broke.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to pay you in 3DSs from here on out. You're going to have so many, you won't know what to do with them.
Why can't I hold all these 3DSs?
Can we Photoshop that picture and post it alongside the podcast? I'll do it if I have to.
Do it, yeah.
Okay. It'll be a visual aid for the podcast.
You know, I'm still using the first edition of the Nintendo DS. Like, I feel so old. Like, there'll be somebody sitting there with a 3DS, and I'm just playing on this brick. And they look over at me, like, disapprovingly. And I'm just like, what are you looking at?
You gotta get a Vita, man. Just show them.
Yeah, I want one.
I don't have a 3DS, but I got a Vita, you know. I'm getting 6 games today. Yeah, finally.
Wait, what 6 games? Okay, Ian, what have you been playing this week? What will you be playing next week?
Okay, I've been playing Kingdoms of Amalur, which, as you said, is a game. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I've talked about it before, but they released a new DLC. It adds pirates, undead pirates, and you get a fortress. How cool is that? It's 15% more content. And, you know, Kingdoms of Amalur is a huge fucking game. And they're adding 15% more to the world, to items, and everything. It's unbelievable. It's like, why don't other people do that? You know, for $10, you add 15% of the game to the game. That's awesome.
Hey, Ian. You remember when I had to write a review about that game and it was like a week and a half late?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that back up.
Can I, like, piggyback off yours? Because I have an opinion and a question about Kingdoms of Amalur.
Sure.
If you don't mind. My opinion is, it's pretty fun. I love the combat, but the one thing that they do terribly, and I noticed this even more because I moved straight from Mass Effect 3 into Kings of Amalur Reckoning, is most of the dialogue just says the same thing over and over again when you talk to people, which is really frustrating for me because in Mass Effect and Skyrim, I always go out of my way to talk to every single person and listen to every single thing, and I tried to do that with Kings of Amalur Reckoning, but I just hated the game so much, and now that I've stopped listening to what anybody says to me, it's a lot more fun. So.
Yeah, they repeat themselves a lot. I mean, all you have to do, though, is to just stick to the main topic and you'll get the information that you need. Because, like, from what I can tell, the dialogue when you start speaking is really terrible. It's not very well written, but when you listen to the lore stones, that's where the good stuff is. That's where the good stories are. Yeah.
But there's no subtitles for that. It's so frustrating. I just have to stand around and listen quietly, because if I run off and get into a fight, I can't hear them.
Well, you can actually go into your menu and go through the lore stones, and it has subtitles there. So that's what I do. I don't listen to them while I find them, but I listen to them afterwards.
You just made me the happiest man alive. Mm-hmm. My second question, has anybody played it on console? Because I'm playing it on PC.
I'm playing it on console.
Is the camera as... Because I'm playing it on PC with a 360 controller, because I'm a freak, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Is the camera as bad on the console as it is?
Yes.
That camera does not give a fuck.
Because it does not auto-adjust when I'm using the controller. It just goes wherever the hell it wants, and I have to, like, take my hand off of the attack buttons to adjust the camera, and it is just a turd. It is a great...
I was
pressing, R3.
Yeah, but I mean, I still can't do that while I'm attacking. I have to take my fingers off of the attack buttons.
Yeah. And I was just about to say, like, I was fighting this troll one time in a really enclosed area inside this cave. And I was firing arrows at it, and it charges at me, and it brings the camera with it. So now my guy's, like, stuck off on like, the side of the camera. I can't see him, but I'm still shooting arrows at him. The troll has, like, 25% health left, and I'm like, what am I going to do? Because, like, the camera no matter what I did, it would not circle back around, and I didn't know about the R3 function. So I was sitting there while I was fighting, just trying to like maneuver the analog sticks as well as my character at the same time, and it was pretty awful.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
The problem it has with the camera is the exact same problem that Epic Mickey had on the Wii. It's the same problem.
Well, nobody played that game, so it's okay.
Well, enough people play that they're making a sequel, Jacob. Who looks like the fool now? Who?
I don't care.
A musical sequel.
Musical sequel, yeah.
How far Warren Spector has fallen from Deus Ex to a musical Disney game in 2 decades.
Hey, admit it. You're going to buy the game anyway. It looks
good. Yeah, I will. I will. But the whole time I'll be playing, I'll be wearing my Deus Ex sunglasses saying, I didn't ask for this.
All right, Dennis, what have you been playing?
Wait, is Ian done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, what are the 6 games you're going to buy? Tell us.
Oh, okay. There's Unit 13. I'm going to get that. There's Rayman Origins, Lumines. What am I forgetting? Because I only have 2 games right now. I have Ninja Gaiden and I have Uncharted. And so the 6 games would be the ones that, you know, I don't have yet. Yeah, really. Because, So that's what I'm going to be playing. I'll probably be playing a lot of Rayman Origins. I want to get my hands on that.
Nice, that's good. Man.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that it, Ian? Or
yes.
All right, Dennis. Fill us in, buddy.
I've just been playing Red Dead Redemption.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've meant to finish that game a long time ago, but Skyrim.
Yeah, I wanted. I got like, I think 15% of the way through Red Dead Redemption, and then my PS3 broke. Well, my PS3 broke, and 15% of Red Dead Redemption is like all of every other game known to man. So,
and that's why I love it.
It's a huge game.
I got really addicted to the blackjack.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah, a bit.
It's so silly to me how many people played, like, the mini games online whenever they released that pack that let you gamble online. Because you could just be playing a poker game, but you're playing poker in a $60 video game. It's just silly to me.
Well, I have actually resisted, looking up the ending, even though everybody says it's, like, the most shocking ending in video games, like, ever. So, I'm still wanting to, like, get to the end of the game somehow, some way, but I just haven't been able to find the time to, like, you know, get more than 3 fights in UFC Undisputed 3 in. So how am I going to find the time to play, like, Red Dead Redemption?
Jacob,
you're really lucky you haven't been spoiled, at least, because
I know
things.
I know, Jacob, something about his wife.
This is going to blow your mind. The ending to Red Dead Redemption is the same as the ending to Mass Effect 3. They are identical. It's the same cutscene that plays in both games.
Well, I know the ending to Mass Effect 3, so thanks for ruining Red Dead Redemption for me.
He's lying.
Yeah, okay. I'm lying. It's not the same cutscene. They changed a few things.
Okay, well, I don't actually know the ending to Mass Effect 3, so it's okay.
You liar.
I'm just busting your balls. I love you, Josh.
Just how could you love a chode? Yeah, Molly had the better joke. I'm sorry I talked over it.
All right, well, unless anybody else has anything they want to say, we're going to go ahead and close this up. And I take it as a no. All right, cool. So we don't have a giveaway for you this week, but join us next week. We have no clue what we're going to be talking about. This has been the best gaming podcast ever. Sergeant Pepper on my food. I've been to the house of the rising sun, and now I'm in the mood. Cry me a river, I cry you a stream. Show me your racist skin, I'll show you a dream. Play me a tune and I'll do a prep. Show me the moon and I'll show you. Because the 60s, it meant the world to me. Yeah, the 60s meant the world to me.
been another day's night. And I thought was never found. I've had good vibrations for too long. I can't lose that darn bed sound. Crayless dream, show me your resistant eyes.